The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it is 40 years since that famous Michael Burke TV report from northern Ethiopia, as families quite literally starved to death in front of them and by extension in front of all of us watching. Henry McKean is with us now, looking back on that moment.
Yeah, Kieran, Michael Burke's report, it shocked the globe. It was broadcast by 450 TV stations worldwide. It was viral before we knew what viral was. Michael Burke, the journalist, you know, in a way, he changed the world with this particular reportage. And it had such an impact, an immediate impact. The West, us here in the first world, were so upset and shocked. And here is a clip, Kieran, from Michael Burke's report. The original is 6 minutes long, which is very long in TV world. They're normally about 2 minutes. And he uses sparse, powerful commentary, perhaps the most influential in TV reporting ever.
Those who die in the night are brought at dawn to be laid out on the edge of the plain. Dozens of them, men, women and children, under blankets or bound in sackcloth for burial in the local custom. For 2 hours, the bodies kept coming from out of the encampment. This mother and the baby she bore 2 months ago, wrapped together in death. As body after body was brought down, the grief became almost tangible. By quorum standards, it wasn't a bad night, 37 dead. Tomorrow, there would be more. The day after, more still. Once the bureaucracy of death is over, the bodies are picked up to be carried back to the villages they left in hope such a little time ago. A tragedy bigger than anybody seems to realise, getting worse every day.
It's very, it's emotive now, even listening to it, isn't it, Henry?
Yeah, even now, it's still emotive, it's still upsetting, it's so raw. And I actually think hearing it on the radio is even more emotive than watching the images. It changed everything, and it made people here in Ireland and in the UK 40 years ago tomorrow just start, you know, crying, trying to do something. They started to try and fundraise immediately. And the First World was really, really moved. And I got to speak to Michael Burke for 40 years on, and I got to chat with him about how it all started and how the plane perhaps wasn't going to land in Coram. It was going to land somewhere else. And they kind of stumbled across this. They knew the famine was taking place. They weren't sure exactly where. And he was with his cameraman who got those shots, Mohammed Amin. That tragedy we saw on TV in front of his eyes unfolding.
I knew we'd stumbled on something that was that important doesn't begin to describe it, does it? It was a human catastrophe on a major scale. That was obvious. What wasn't quite so obvious is that, you know, we were there, we could see it, smell it, touch people. You know, there were people trying to give us their children and babies and so on. I mean, the personal experience had an enormous, you know, stupid thing to say, had, you know, obvious and immediate and enormous experience on us personally, because we were experiencing it at first hand. What wasn't so predictable, and what worried me at the time was that was all very well, but how How would that be communicated to people who were seeing it at several removes in the comfort of their living rooms, watching it on a screen, while they're, having a beer or a coffee or, yes. or something, it was an anxiety, but also I couldn't see that people's reactions at that remove would be the same, or certainly not as intense as our own reactions were, being on the spot and experiencing it firsthand.
So that the great Michael Burke himself. I mean, what's the legacy, or what was the legacy of that report?
Yeah, the legacy is massive. It's huge. But at the same time, I've been back to Ethiopia, and obviously Michael's been back. Ethiopia still has many, many problems, mainly these days it's around climate change. But governments did change their foreign aid structures, and there was huge debt forgiveness at the time as well. Obviously, Band-Aid was massive, and so was Live Aid. Band-Aid sold over 50 million records that particular Christmas. And then Live Aid in July 85 was watched by 2 billion people. Basically, the globe were watching, raising around 180 million euro to date. Here is Michael Burke on that legacy.
The report is one thing, the response is another. The immediate, you can divide it into two, really. The immediate legacy was the, what has been described as the biggest rescue operation in history. And nobody really knows how many lives were saved, not just by Band-Aid and Live Aid, though that was important, but also because under public pressure, the aid policies of the European Union, the United Kingdom, the United States was changed, which probably had more of an actual impact on the ground at the time. So there was the immediate rescue operation and all that sort of stuff. One of the other legacies, I don't know. There's lots of things I don't know about it. One is, why was there that reaction at that particular time when it had never happened before and actually hasn't happened in the same way since?
No.
I mean, Sudan at the moment is almost as bad as Ethiopia was then, but you don't even hear a word about it on the news or in newspapers most of the time. There is that kind of why. The other legacy, thanks I think so much to Geldof, was that people were engaged for the first time. People in the first time on that scale, anyway, people in the first world not only felt sorry for or even responsible for the awful sufferings of some people in the third world, but actually felt they could do something about it, that their contributions, however small, were actually making a difference. And I think that enablement that the extraordinarily vivid character of Geldof managed to create was a legacy that continues to this day with telethons and comet reliefs and all that kind of stuff. Now, has it made any difference in the long run? Well,
Henry, you spoke to the man himself as well, Geldof, did you?
I tried to speak to Bob Geldof. So, Bob, I did speak to him on the phone. I did actually ring him, and he actually said to me, "I'm sick of talking about it. Could you bring me closer to Band-Aid?" So they got into the studio in November, and then the single came out in December. And he was lovely on the phone. He's not ready to give us an interview just yet, but he says he will closer to the time. But so we took something from the archives from actually 1985 from Live Aid. He's reacting to Mick Jagger and David Bowie's Dancing in the Street at Live Aid in 1985.
We got a telephone call from Sheikh Manu Al Maktoum and the Dubai government, who've just given us £1 million. So thank you to the Dubai government and the Al Maktoum family. The other thing is that Mick and David did that video specifically so that you could give something, and it's not happening enough. You've got to get on the phone and take the money out of your pocket. Don't go to the pub tonight, please. Stay in and give us the money. There are people dying now, so give me the money. And here's the numbers.
We read them out. We're probably going to get the address first, aren't we?
No, let's the address. Let's get the numbers, because that's how we're going to get it.
It Yes, and the opening chimes then to the iconic single as well that came out, as you said, in December. So we might speak to Sir Bob closer to that anniversary. You've got a special coming up this weekend as well.
I do, and I'm just delighted to say that we were the first station in Ireland to play a Christmas tune of the year. But yeah, I do have a special. I do. We have a special programme, and there's going to be an extended interview of Michael Burke on the Rewind with me on Bank Holiday Monday at 11 a.m. And we're looking at 1984, the change makers. So John Tracy winning silver in the marathon in the LA Olympics. That's going to be fantastic. Also, we're looking back to MT USA with Bill Hughes, Gremlins, Ghostbusters, and Howard Dunstall's Checkout Girl. Sorry, I shouldn't have said Checkout Girl. I should have said Worker refused to handle South African fruit, which led to the anti-apartheid movement.
All right. Tune in on Monday to see if Henry can get himself cancelled by using outdated language to refer to anybody else. Henry McKean with the Rewind. Bank Holiday Monday. What time, Henry, on Monday?
It's 11 a.m.
11 a.m. on Monday, Henry, thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.